Okay. You know, Jay, you said there are a lot of family things. There are a lot of family things. We're a church family, and there's a lot of unspoken requests, things in your families that you're concerned about. And I'm glad God knows about those things. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have your Bible and you can find your way there. Today is Memorial Day. Actually, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and as we are launching into Memorial Day, it's a time when we remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. And you know, I have taken it for granted, I'm sure, many, many, many times, taken for granted the price that has been paid for our freedom. We in Somerset and the surrounding area, we have amazing freedoms. In America, we have amazing freedoms. In many countries, we have amazing freedoms because many people have given their lives for us. You know, one of the great griefs, and I don't know if Milt and Melinda are watching us, but when his brother was killed serving in the military, and probably many of you have had family members and friends who have died serving in the military. And there are active duty people now who are serving. And we need to pray for their safety. But, you know, to give thanks and to be thankful and to have a thankful heart for the freedom that we enjoy. Many times we have been here in church and we have said, you know, we don't even understand truly the freedoms that we have because it hasn't been taken away from us yet. And we've often said, yet, because it could be. And many countries, it has been taken away. So on this Memorial Day, we want to remember and pray for as Mike did. And I really appreciated Mike's time in the beginning to stop and pray. Let's just join that again. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this incredible land where we live. Now, Lord, the gospel is not stopped. If people live in a land where they're not free, but we have such freedom. And we want to give thanks, and we also want to again pray for the comfort, Lord, in for those that are grieving on this Memorial Day weekend, whose son or daughter or father or grandfather they haven't had for decades or maybe even just weeks. Because they have given their lives for our country. Father, I am grateful for our country. I'm grateful for these individuals who make up the fighting force, the force that keeps peace, that maintains freedom. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort and keep and protect those who are serving now. Father, we ask you to guide us as we open your word to this scripture. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'd like to kind of correlate the sacrifice that was made by many military people for our freedom to the sacrifice that Christ made for our freedom. Because we are not only worried about our freedoms in our nation, but you need to know freedom and forgiveness and hope for your eternity. I'll tell you that I've been studying the book of Revelation because I'd like to teach it. And I've been reading it, just reading and reading Revelation. And I'm just excited about it. And one of the things that Revelation teaches us is about the things that are coming and the place that God has prepared for us. And it is amazing. And so in this idea of eternity versus the temporal. So in the Bible, we have these two concepts. One is the temporary, and the other is the eternal. And even though our military really stands in the place for us to have freedom here, God stood in the place so we could have freedom and hope and an eternity with him forever. And so just kind of with that in mind, with Memorial Day, I wanted to read from Colossians chapter 2 before I go to 2 Corinthians. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, I would like to talk about why we need to fight for our spiritual freedom. I wish I had time. Psalms chapter 82 talks about how we fight for people's justice and we fight for people's freedom and how we fight for people's even joy and prosperity and how we fight when people are in social justice situations where they're being manipulated and so on. And there's a comparison between the kings of the earth and God, who is the king of heaven. And so that's in Psalm chapter 82. But what do we fight for as Christians? What do we as soldiers of Christ fight for? We do, and that is the primary target. He said to save souls. That's the primary target of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is saving of souls. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And all I would say to you in that is that we believe the gospel. We believe God. We believe God's word. We believe the gospel that God has given us. That's the good news for people to be saved, so that's what we believe. And in our world, you guys, we have people that are trying to undermine that. Actually, we have an enemy, Satan, who is trying to undermine that. And there is this battle going on, and you and I are fighting for the truth, to stick with the truth, to know the truth, to present the truth, to live for the truth, to give invitation for other people to know the truth. And Paul says to the Colossian people, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." There's so much that are in those two things. Philosophical thought that is not focused on Christ, or deceitful things that would cause people to wander away from Christ. It says, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So we are Christians, and we have joy, and we sing to worship our God. We have a message that we are taking to the world. We have a purpose to live our life. And someday, by the grace of God, we're going to be in his presence. And what a joy that is going to be. It was a joy on Friday to rejoice with Jackie Miller. I will tell you that 1 Peter says that there's a point where you, Dennis, and you, Jay, and me, there is a point where our faith will be revealed. Our faith is revealed in Scripture, and we have a faith in Christ right now that's in our soul, but someday it's all going to come together. When you take your last breath here and you are absent from the body, you're going to be where? You are going to be present with the Lord. It's going to be instantaneous, and you are going to be in his presence, all by the work of Christ. And we want to stick to the gospel, and we want to share the gospel, and we don't want to be distracted by or confused by philosophies and man's empty words. And that's why it's so important to stick true to the gospel. In 2 Timothy, I'm going to read another scripture while you're still waiting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Timothy, it says this, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. Let me give you the context. Paul is speaking to Timothy. It'd be like me saying, Bob, this is what's important. And Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he's saying, be strengthened, my son, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Timothy, Paul's saying, what you have heard from me, I want you to entrust to faithful people. I want you to take it, and I want you to take it to the next generation. He says, take what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust those things to faithful men. And I'll say faithful men and women and boys and girls. Take those words and entrust, give, teach, take it to them, share it with them, give them an invitation to know Christ. Who then will be able to teach others also? There's kind of this passing the baton. So Clay and Sherry have Hogan, and they've lived the faith. They've passed the baton. Hogan has struggled with it. He grasped it. Max has it. And it goes like that. It goes from us to the people in our lives, to the children and the neighbors and the people you work with. So we've been entrusted with this message. It says, share in the suffering of this passing the baton, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'm just kind of making the segue between Memorial Day, the work and commitment of a soldier, and the work and commitment of a soldier of Christ. Okay? So we are enlisted. Our names have been written down. We are the soldiers of Christ. It says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then it says in verse 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And you guys, that's our aim. Our aim is to please the one who enlisted us. Who enlisted you? God. Christ Jesus has enlisted you. You are now a soldier of Jesus Christ. You have a message of hope and peace and forgiveness and eternity to share with others. And that's what he's saying. In verse 3, it says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, there is suffering as a child of God. I know that people have talked about and said, you know, that when you become a Christian, everything is great, and there are great things, and there are peaceful things. But walking with Christ and living for Christ, there will be suffering. You will be tried, there will be trials, there will be all kinds of things like that. By the way, I want you to know that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you have not, these are true things out of God's Word. It is a challenge to be a Christian person. It is not just sign the dotted line and forever it's taken care of. Once you've enlisted, if you're a soldier and your commanding officer or your leader tells you to do something, what do? You do it. You do it. Is there any two ways about it? No two ways about it. We are called, we are enlisted by God to be soldiers of Christ, and he says, you are mine. And it's not just a challenge, it is an honor. It's a privilege to bear this baton of responsibility. Go to me with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay. I'm gonna jump ahead in my message and tell you the end of the story before I get there. There are three things that stand out in this passage to me. Just so you remember, we love kids and we love them to talk out loud. So Elijah, you preach it. That's right. Three things. The first is, as a soldier of Christ, this passage tells us we are broken people. Okay? We want things to be perfect. We want to live perfect. But we are broken people. We are weak people. We make mistakes as people. And God wants you to know that he knows you are broken. You know, we don't like to admit that. I recently have been tiling a shower. I've actually been doing it for, it's been like a 5-year project. I tore the shower out before Juliana finished high school, and she's in her 4th year of college. And it is. Lucky we have 2 showers. And I have no excuse. It's just the way it is. But I finally finished tiling the shower. But while I was tiling the shower, you know, when you're doing something at home, you try to do it so that it's well done, right? You really want it to be perfect. And you know, for those of you that have cut tile and you're running tile through a tile saw and you get to the like the last inch of the cut, and what happens? Gosh, it cracks. It breaks. So I only had, you know, so much tile that we had purchased for this bathroom project. And I couldn't keep breaking pieces because I had to have enough to get it done. And these were big pieces. Some of them were 16 by 24s. Man, I hate cutting those big pieces of tile. But I broke. I was getting right to the end of the cut and snap, you know, it snapped a corner off. It happened 3 times. And I had no more tile. Now, I could have bought another box of tile, right? Because that's the way it comes. You don't come in pieces. Not when you buy it where I bought it. I shouldn't have bought it there, but I did. And so what I did was, real carefully, I laid those tiles in our bathroom, and they're broken. And I don't want anybody to find the breaks. So I was really careful about how I laid them. And I said to my family, there's 3 broken tiles in here. You can try to find them. You know? When something breaks, you're just devastated. It's like, oh, man, I have to work with broken pieces. You guys, that's what God's working with. He's working with broken pieces. We're the broken pieces. So the main thing in the beginning of this chapter is we are vessels. We are clay pots that are broken. The second thing in this passage is he teaches us that our sufficiency is in Christ alone. That by ourselves, we have no sufficiency. We can't do this ministry perfectly. We can't do this. We don't have all the gifts we need. We don't have all the abilities we need. Our sufficiency is in Christ. Now, when God takes a broken vessel and the broken vessel realizes that the sufficiency is only from Christ, the ability, the capability is only from Christ, you know what the resultant, the result is when that's all done? People who see you see that it's Christ who's working and not you. So our sufficiency is Christ, and when a broken vessel lets Christ work through them, then what people see is the work of God. And that's what we need to see. It's not about us pumping ourselves up to say, you know, I'm going to be perfect. It's us submitting to a masterful God who can use a broken vessel like me, and his sufficiency works through you as a child of God to do his work. So in this passage, just go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to read this passage. Therefore, having this ministry, and it's the ministry that Mark said, it's the saving of people around us, the redemption of people around us. Therefore, this is us guys, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to manipulate people. We're not going to lie to people. We're going to be honest with people. We're going to let go of ways that are ungodly and wrong. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. We can't tamper with God's word, guys. We can't undermine the gospel or make it less than it is. A person needs to absolutely put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They need to believe God is. They need to put their faith and trust in him and be saved by his grace. It says, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. I'm not going to teach on that, but basically, when we're honestly living for Christ and people are seeing Christ, we're going to have a clear conscience and the people are going to see the genuineness of that. Okay? And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, they can't see the gospel. You probably have friends and neighbors, maybe family, who you're living for Christ and you want to share the gospel with them, and they don't get it. They just don't get it. They're blind. Satan has blinded them. They can't see the gospel of Christ. And you know, it's interesting because one of the commentators said, if you go back, you know, Satan is still a created being and God is still behind that. And it is God who's at work in that person's life. And the timing of their salvation is up to God. But anyway, let's just continue here. This truth is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay? So there's this enemy blinding that's happening to unbelieving people, to people who can't see the gospel of Christ. Yet Paul is committed to preaching the truth. We are committed to preaching the truth. We're going to share Christ with people, right? Absolutely. That is what Pioneer Bible Church is for. That's why we're here. It's what we're doing. It's what we do in Awana. It's what we do in youth ministry. It's what we do in our Bible studies. It's that people would know the truth of God and that they would follow Christ. Look at verse 5. For what we proclaim, the truth that we're telling, what we proclaim is not ourselves. That kind of gets what I was saying with earlier. The message is not our message. It's not about me. It's about, let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about the God of creation, who is the God of salvation, who can save your soul. Somebody you can put your faith and trust in. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jump with me to verse 7, and I'd like to make some applications here. It says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this treasure in earthen pots. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So God takes broken people, sinful people. That's us. And he fills us. We believe in him. We put our faith and trust in him. He draws us to himself. It's this working of God in our lives. And he takes these jars of clay, and it's interesting because it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Back in the old days, when they were wanting to store things, the people wanted to store things in their homes, they couldn't go to Walmart or Costco and buy plastic bins. So do you know where people stored their treasures? In jars of clay, in clay pots. And Paul is making an analogy, and he's saying, this treasure, this gospel of God that has come into your life, storing in a jar of clay. He's choosing to put his treasure into us. Praise God. What a gift that is, that God would do that for you, that he would put his treasure in your life. It says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Here's it is, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We didn't save ourselves. He saved us. We didn't somehow become good enough for the Holy Spirit to reside in us. He cleansed us and saved us, and he put the Holy Spirit of God within us to live with us. It says, and then verse 8, and this goes back to the good soldier in 2 Timothy when it says, you will suffer as a good soldier. Please look at these words. God has enlisted you and called you and strengthened you to be an ambassador for Christ, a soldier for Christ, and it is not going to be easy if you take a stand for the gospel, if you take a stand for godly morality, if you take a stand for the things that are pleasing to God. It says here in verse 8, we are, Paul is talking to the people in Corinth, but it applies to us perfectly, we are afflicted in every way. You will have affliction in your life. In this humanity, you are surrounded by affliction. You may have affliction in financial ways. You may have affliction in physical ways. You may have mental affliction. You may have all kinds of affliction. It says, we are afflicted in every way. But look at these words. He says, but you're not crushed. You're going to be able to stand. You're afflicted, but you're not crushed. Secondly, you are perplexed, but you are not driven to despair. These are words of great hope. You are perplexed. You may be questioning. You may be wondering, why is my life going like this? Why did these things happen? I think if you round up right now, you know, and I think, you know, how that happened. You are perplexed, but you are not in despair. We as people of the as children of God are not despairing. We may face perplexing things, but because of the indwelling Spirit of God, we don't despair. Isn't that good? I mean, sometimes do you feel like you're despairing? I do. But he's reminding us, you have been perplexed, but not driven to despair. That's why we need to call on God when we're perplexed. We need to call on God when we're struggling. We need to, and you know what, guys? We need to be in church when we're struggling. I can't tell you how important my friends are in my walk with Christ. When you get low and you get discouraged and you get perplexed, don't isolate. Don't find a corner and hang out there. You will spiral down. You know how I know that? Because I have. And I think probably some of you have too. Don't isolate. I find people that, I guess I'm a little on a soapbox, but I really hated this COVID time. I know that God was using it, and I know that there will be fruit that comes of it. But I really want the church to gather back together. I'm really glad we're sitting here together. I mean, it was okay to sit here on a bench and look at the TV screen and talk to you for a few months, you know, through Zoom. One time I was preaching on Zoom and Dan's whole family came down. So at least I got to preach to them, you know. There was this interaction that I had, and all your kids were sitting here. But when we isolate as Christians, it's just never good. We were called to be the church. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some people forsake coming together. But gather all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ. Gather all the more. So when we talk about life groups or home groups or Sunday school or church services or community picnics we got coming up where we're going to serve the community, gather all the more. You guys, we are so important to each other. The Bible says when one person suffers, the whole church suffers. When one person rejoices, the whole church rejoices. Let's rejoice together. Let's suffer together. Let's work together. You guys, we are the children of God. It's here at Pioneer Bible Church. It's at Cold Springs Church, who met with you guys, and Solid Rock, the other folks that were at your women's retreat. It's these local gatherings of God's people. Let me just continue with a few more words. So perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. And let me tell you, the people in this day, they were persecuted severely. We don't experience persecution like they did. But it says the people who are persecuted are not forsaken. God never leaves them. God never forsakes them. In persecution, God is always there. And sometimes in persecution, other brothers and sisters are there as well. And by the way, though this is persecution where people are actually being physically injured for their faith, persecution can come in all kinds of forms. It can come in ridicule and mocking and ignoring you and all those things. I'm not sure why this is clicking, but I'm trying to be careful. Some are. There are. Absolutely. Right now as we speak. Yep. It says, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. And then look at verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of the Lord Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. So here we are. We are jars of clay. We're broken. We're spiritually broken. We may be mentally broken. We may be emotionally broken. We may be broken by substances. We may be broken by sin. And what happens is, it says, God puts this treasure into these broken vessels. He warns us, you will be persecuted, but not forsaken, and so on. And then he says this, so we're the pot, we're the clay pot. And he says, I want you to bear in your body the gospel, the dying of the Lord Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're bearing that. You're carrying that. You're carrying the gospel wherever you go. You're bearing the body of the Lord Jesus in your flesh so that the life of Christ may be seen in you. That's what he says right here. He says in these words, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in your body. There is this idea of being an ambassador for Christ, of bearing the gospel, of bearing the work of Christ. That's what we're called to do. I'm a soldier of Christ, and I'm called to do this. And you know what? I've got to do it whether you do it or not. And actually, you've got to do it whether I do it or not. Continue with me. So, death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. So, I don't know if I can describe this well enough. But that is a quote taken out of the Old Testament, out of the Psalms, where it says, I believed and therefore spoke. And it is a quote from the psalmist, from David. And he says, I believed in God, and so I lived for God even when it was hard. That's kind of my paraphrase. But that's what he was saying. I believe, and therefore I stand for the truth. I speak. I believe, and I therefore speak, the psalmist says. Paul says, we believe, and we speak. We stand. We stand for the truth. We stand for the gospel. We bear the dying of the Lord Jesus in our bodies so that what may be seen in this cracked pot, so it may seem that the treasure will leak out. It's maybe like putting a flashlight in a broken vessel, and you can see the light coming out through the cracks. We bear the body of the Lord Jesus. Knowing, verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And I just want to tell you, that is an amazing heavenly picture, a picture of hope that, here's what Paul is saying. He says, so you are a broken vessel filled with the treasure of God. You bear about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus so that Jesus will be shown in your life. And he says, and keep this in mind, as Christ was raised from the dead, you will be raised from the dead. As Christ is in the presence of his Father, you will be with Christ in the presence of his Father. You guys, there are scriptures over and over and over that give this promise. Our promise of a heavenly home, Jesus says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is not a dream. Heaven is not an imagination. Heaven is a place that God has described over and over and over in Scripture. And for every individual person who will put their faith and trust in Christ, God has prepared a place for you. And he affirms it by saying, as the Father raised Christ, so too you will be raised. Listen to these words. He says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. You should be excited about that. I'm excited about that. And it is a promise from God's word. Verse 15 says, for it is all for your sake. What is all for your sake? All this truth. This is for your sake. Paul says, I want you to know all this is for your sake, so that as grace extends more and to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Is that those words right there? It says, it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people. Can you? I don't know why this is doing this. Mike, I don't know if I've messed something up or what's happening, but it's all for your sake so that his grace extends to more and more people. Can you just look at that more and more people? The whole idea, guys, is that more and more people will understand this truth. It says, as grace extends. I said to our Bible study this week, we are grace extenders. That's who we are. We're grace extenders. We take grace. We take the message of God and the truth of God, and we extend that as grace extends to more and more people. You know what, guys? Because of Christ, you have hope. There are people in your life who do not have hope. There are people that live around you who do not have hope. And they need hope. And we are the grace extenders to more and more people, it says. And what happens is this. As more and more people are saved, what kind of an attitude do they have? Yeah, and they're thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. It says it increases thanksgiving to the glory of God. As we understand this truth, as we believe this truth, it causes the people of God to be thankful. It's kind of a silly question, but are you thankful for what God has done for you? Absolutely. And when we're thankful, it brings glory to God. Isn't that neat? So your thankful heart for your salvation, you're accepting the fact that you are a broken pot filled with the treasure of God. You are bearing the body of the Lord Jesus, so more and more people understand the grace of God. It leads to thanksgiving and to his glory. And he says, this is all for your sake. And it does. It makes a thankful people. Let's finish this up. So, verse 16, you see what those first six words are? Right there? So we do not lose heart. God does not want you to lose heart. He doesn't want me to lose heart. He doesn't want me to get discouraged or you to get discouraged. He wants you to know, yeah, I know you're broken. I'm filling you on purpose. I love you. I'm saving you by the grace of Christ. You're now my ambassador. You're bearing the Lord Jesus. You're extending grace to others. More and more people are being saved. Yes, you are going to be knocked down. You are going to be persecuted. You are going to be afflicted. But do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away. Now, for those of us that are getting a little older, you kind of see how you're wasting away a little bit more, right? Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being what? Renewed day by day. That's why you don't isolate. That's why you don't leave your Bible on the shelf. That's why you don't ignore God Monday through Saturday. Your inner self is, your outer self is passing away, is having a tough time. Your inner self is being renewed day by day. Keep this in mind, verse 17 says, this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. So he says this light momentary affliction. Now this is my description of this, but you're 20, 40, 60, 80, 90 years is a momentary affliction. This momentary affliction is preparing us for heaven. This momentary affliction, sure, this momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things which are seen, but to the things, click, click. Here we go. Hand off. Perfect. Is that okay? Get rid of the clicky one. Okay. Okay. So this light momentary affliction, you know, when you think of the Apostle Paul and you think of the Apostle Peter and you think of all the apostles who died a martyr's death, And it says, for this light momentary affliction, that's all included in that kind of a description. The stuff that you're going through, I can't talk about that right now. You understand how that's painful. Our inner self's being renewed day by day. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that is beyond comparison. I wish I had, maybe I will in another sermon, just talk about all the heavenly things that we know from Scripture. You have an idea of what heaven's like. Golden streets, walls made of beautiful stones, in the presence of God. But you guys, the Bible says it's incomparable. You can't even grasp what God has prepared for you. Not completely. We've got a little picture. But he says right here, beyond all comparison. So 18 is kind of a focus. As we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are transient or temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Can I just offer you this thought? In verse 18, it says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Here's what I'd like to say to you. Where you focus every day of your life, what you focus on every day of your life will either give you hope or not. It says, Paul says, don't look at the things that are seen. Now, why would he say that? Why would Paul instruct us, don't focus on the things that are right here, the temporal? They're deceptive. They're going to burn. They're temporary. They're just momentary. They're like when the Bible says your life is like a flower that's here today and gone tomorrow. Paul says, and here's the problem, guys, and I do this too, and I am at fault at times in my life when I focus on the temporary things as if that's where my hope is going to come from. If my hope's going to come from finally getting that shower done, I'm going to disappoint myself and my family and everybody else. If my focus is on my God who saved me and my God who's prepared an eternity for me, if I focus on the gospel responsibility that I have, my encouragement to my brothers and sisters, what he's saying, I don't know. I don't know what has got you all stirred up right now in your life. Your condition of your house, your condition of your health, your condition of your family, your condition of these things that are present. And it's not that those things don't count, but he said, don't focus on these things for your hope. Don't focus on these things for your encouragement. Don't focus on these temporal things to give you enthusiasm about walking with God. Focus on eternal things. Let me just finish this up. We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. You guys, because the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You want hope? You focus on these promises of God. When you're in the midst of something in the temporal world that's driving you crazy, focus on the truth of God and the gospel and the hope that you have. You don't focus on the things that are seen. It's not that we neglect them. You know, we still got to mow the lawn and be sure the well works and take care of our family and all that stuff. Focus on the things that are unseen. So there were three things that I wanted to just focus on today. I want you to remember that God knows we are broken vessels. Secondly, our sufficiency is in God alone. It's not in ourselves. And the last thing is, we must fix our eyes on what is eternal and not on the temporary. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Worship team, would you guys come on up and I'm going to pray. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank you. I mean, honestly, God, this message is so helpful to me to remember that you value broken people. Paul says, in my weakness, he is made strong. Help us to believe that truth. And then, Lord, help us remember that it is God in us. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I no longer live for myself, but for Christ who dwells in me, that you are sufficient. We sang earlier, I am a friend of God. Some people have a hard time singing that because they don't feel like a friend of God. But we are your friends. You are our Savior, and you do love us. And then, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on eternity. The Bible says in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. God, I thank you for everybody that's here. Help us to not only know these things, but believe these things and live out these things every day. Father, thank you for the gathering of your people. I love the fact that we can be in church together. I pray for our Zoom audience, the people who are watching, that you would bless them and encourage them. And Father, I pray that you would continue to gather us as the church. Thank you that this COVID thing is almost winding down, at least in our community. Help us not to be foolish, but help us, Lord, to gather together to lift up your name. Thanks for your presence. We want to give you glory and thanksgiving. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together and worship as our team leads us in singing.
In honor of Memorial Day, God bless the USA. If tomorrow all the things were gone that worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from the sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, York and LA, pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Lord, and God bless us too, Lord, as we go our way. Lord, be with us as we go through this week, Lord. Let us be able to shine the light of your gospel through our lives and through our words we speak. Precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to remind you that the ladies have a little survey that they've put out, and please respond to. If you want to go to the men's retreat, talk to Clay or talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about that. And I think that's it. I really am grateful. Yes, Katie?
We don't have anybody signed up for youth group meals yet.
Okay, we need youth group meals. Okay, so let's work on that. And I think those are clipboards are on the table outside. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
If that's supposed to be your mic over there, pick up that one over there. Actually, it doesn't seem, I don't know. I can't hear it. I unmuted it. Test that one, see if that one's on. Test that one.
The whole time.
So they must have got twisted up or something. I don't know.
Alone. say.